Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online, or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with $4,731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app. And now, it's time for a Deep South legend that's been keeping it real here in Atlanta for over two decades. It's the Buck Ballou Show, only on The Fan.
Good morning to you. Hello there. How's it going? Heath Klein here with you, hanging out. It is the Buck Ballou Show. And for Buck today, glad that you could be here with me. We will try to continue to take the draft conversation where it's going, but maybe add in a few things. I don't know that I've ever been anywhere that you had a draft pick that 4 days later, people were still just kind of walking around like, do you believe this? Yeah, man, it's a trip. There's no doubt. It's a trip. And the fact that you have national reaction to your draft, that's a mixed bag. Falcons don't always get a lot of national attention. This is one way to do it, but not sure the best way. Hey, let's get it cooking. You don't have a lot of time to waste around here. Let's get into the big take.
Bucks big take.
So every person that invents something, everybody who ever comes up with a new idea has to have people who say, no, that's not right. That, no. Because if that was a good idea, someone would have obviously already done it. So therefore, it can't actually be a good idea. You must have miscalculated something. You must have misunderstood something. The problem is, a lot of the time when people tell you that, they're actually right. But they're not always right. And if you're a Falcon fan, you've got to cling to the hope that what you have done the last few days, not just the number one pick, that's important, but that's not your draft. You've got to hope that you've been doing some zigging where everybody else is zagging, and somehow you were the ones that were right a lot. Because if you look at the way the Falcon draft was evaluated, I'm not talking about just the standard, oh, okay, we got to give it a grade. Okay, I don't know. They did this and this and this. B plus. Those grades are useless. They're stupid. They're useless. They don't mean a thing. And media mock drafts don't necessarily mean much either. Even the guys who spend a lot of time on this stuff, people that I respect, people that I think have a background that justifies taking their opinions more seriously than average. People like Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL, a guy who's worked in the NFL as a scout before, has had opportunities, according to media reports, to return to a GM-type role if he wanted it, but has chosen to stay in media. That guy's opinion has some validity to it. The trouble for the Falcons is that other than the third and fourth round picks, every other pick you made was wildly off of what it was supposed to be. That doesn't mean you're wrong. Last year, go back and look at the Detroit Lions draft. And go back and look at what was said about the Detroit Lions draft. The Detroit Lions had a lot of people say, wait, you can't take a running back at 12. Are you nuts? You took a linebacker in the middle of the first round? That's too high a value for that guy. No, 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 no. Go back and look at how the Lions draft played out. It did really well. It was an important part. Those guys were key contributors on them making a run into the playoffs and actually winning games when they got there. So I'm certainly not going to tell you there's no way that the Falcons got this right. They might have. But as of now, looking at the draft classes and ranking them on value versus pick your different version of things you want to go with, whether it be one person's list of their top 150 prospects, whether it be a cumulative media analysis, you can't find anyone anywhere that is not saying that the Falcons reached and reached and reached in this draft. We're all going to be talking about whatever happens with Penix. That will define this draft for everybody for years. It doesn't matter if you got other picks right. That's going to be the one that defines it. But round two, you could argue, was actually a worse pick for value at the time you made it than Penix. Six quarterbacks went in the first 12. I don't care what anybody's board said beforehand, Michael Penix was not going to last past the Raiders at 13. Not with the way this draft fell. So that one, the question is more about why are you the one that took him than it is he a value for this year's draft, the amount of demand at that position? But Ruka Rororo, you're talking about a guy at Clemson that I know some people over at Clemson. I was able to call and we actually had somebody on who covered him on the program that I did with Steve West on Saturday. Everybody will tell you the same thing about him. Great kid. You're going to love him in interview sittings. He's going to be a really fun personality in the locker room. Great kid. Talented athlete. Can do a lot of things. Did any of them think that he was going to be picked when the Falcons picked? Not a chance. Not a single one. They were universally extremely surprised he went ahead of some of the names he went ahead of. You know, Johnny Howard from Illinois is the most obvious one who went right after him. But it's not even that you took a guy a lot higher than pretty much everyone, including people who literally watched him play his whole career, thought he would go. It's that you took him and you traded an extra pick to do it. Giving up draft picks is not good business, period. It's dumb. Giving up a top 100 pick and not getting anything other than higher up to get a player, you'd better be right. And there are guys that were on the board at the position you were taking that really looked like they're probably better. This isn't just guessing or hoping. It's just watching them play and watching him play. Now, you're going on projection. You're going on hope. Ororo is a guy who started playing a lot later than some guys. He didn't begin playing his football until junior year of high school. So even though he's been in college and he's had a chance to develop there, there may be more room for growth, more meat on the bone for him than there might be a guy like Howard. Maybe that's what the Falcons like about him. Again, no one questions. He's an athlete, good guy, can do some stuff, and he's in a position where he can help you. But you gave up a third-round pick when you had lots of needs. You said getting him specifically was so important that to guarantee you did it, you need to give up a third-round pick. Maybe he would have gone before he got to you, but it's sure hard to see why. Because there were other players higher rated that went in that spot. It's just hard to see why they needed to do that. Again, fifth, sixth round picks, you're not going to get too worked up about them one way or the other, but it still felt like they were taking some guys that really weren't expected to go. So maybe the Falcons are the innovators here. Maybe they found kids or diamonds in the rough and no one else did. But here's the biggest problem. No one in the Falcons organization right now has credibility. No one. If you are a guy in Sean Payton who is taking a quarterback in Bo Nix at 12 that a lot of people before the draft didn't think was going to be a first-round pick, a guy that a lot of teams just question how good he can be and whether he is anything special as an NFL prospect, but you're taking him and you're Sean Payton, you at least have the credibility of, I'm Sean Payton. I'm an offensive guru. You saw what I did in New Orleans, but even before that as an assistant, I did good work too. I'm telling you, I believe this guy can play quarterback in the league at the level to justify this pick. And you've got the credibility that a fan who's not really sure, some guy sitting on his couch in Littleton, Colorado, can say, well, hey, it's Sean Payton, man. If he says it, I believe him. Who with the Falcons do you believe? Who's the guy that you as a fan can say, well, I know Raheem's got this. Not really. Doesn't mean that Raheem can't be a successful head coach. I'm not saying that. But Raheem Morris is largely a defensive background head coach, a little time on offense, but certainly not a guy you say, we know that he knows how to develop quarterbacks and bring them along into a successful offense. That's not there. Robinson, the new OC. Interesting name, exciting name. A lot of intrigue there. But the facts are he hasn't done it. You don't know if he knows how to bring along a young quarterback. He might. Comes from a good system. But does he have the credibility of he's done it? No, he does not. GM, Trey Fondo, got any history there of bringing along a young quarterback, developing him, turning him into something? He comes from the Saints. The Saints never, ever develop young quarterbacks. Ever. Haven't even drafted one in the first round in decades. Does he know what a good young quarterback looks like and how to bring him along? Arthur Blank? I don't know that you can say that Arthur Blank for sure would know the right answer on how to find a young quarterback. So who? Like, who over there has the credibility for you as a fan if you're struggling to say, I got to believe in this guy? Some teams have that. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers whiffed completely on the third pick in the draft. Took Trey Lance, traded three first-rounders, and whiffed completely. And still found a guy in the seventh round and turned him into an effective quarterback. That's credibility. If they make a pick that seems kind of out there, they're going to get some benefit of the doubt. The trouble for the Falcons is, at least right now, they've got absolutely nobody who has earned any benefit of the doubt, and that makes this a lot harder for fans to deal with. There you go. There's the big take this morning. Again, Heath in for Buck. Make sure we tell you that if you are a Braves fan, Braves fans from all over Georgia can participate in and win with the Atlanta Braves Foundation 50-50 raffle. For the first time ever, jackpots will be open during Braves home and road series games throughout the season and open to fans both at Truist Park and listening anywhere in Georgia. Raffles will conclude with one lucky winner taking home 50% of the total jackpot, and the remaining 50% goes to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. Enter in person at Truist Park or online. Online entrance must be physically located in the state of Georgia at the time of entry. For complete rules and details and to purchase your 50-50 raffle tickets online, go to Braves.com/50-50 or visit the MLB Ballpark app while in Georgia. There's something about this move that's been made now that it creates an incredible conundrum, and we don't need to go over every last part of this. Again, by now, you think what you think about the choice to take Penix. He's a good player. The question is he a good player for this team in this setting? The best case scenario I think you can come up with if you're a Falcon fan for the next couple of years would be Kirk Cousins does what you brought him here for. Even though you've done this unusual thing that kind of disrupts your relationship with him a little bit, it seems, everybody kind of gets over it. Cousins does what he needs to do for the next 2 years for the Falcons. They have success. They go to the playoffs. But in each of the 2 years, maybe a game or two here or there, Penix gets a chance to get out there on the field. You know, maybe Cousins does so well that the Falcons can do what the Chiefs did with Mahomes. If you remember Mahomes' first year with the Chiefs, he did not play much at all, but he got to start the final game because the Chiefs had already secured their playoff situation. There was nothing to change with the final game. So Mahomes got the start in the final game. So, you know, maybe if everything's going great, Cousins and the Falcons can win the division and have a game in hand and not have to worry. And maybe at the last part of the year, you can get a start for Penix here, start for Penix there. That's the best case scenario. But then what do you do by year three? If Cousins is doing that, are you going to still say, yeah, we probably need to push him out so we can try and make sure that this investment pays off? You're going to go a third year? Okay. Remember this about Kirk Cousins. This is the sharpest negotiator of any athlete in the NFL when it comes to his contract. With what you did here, if you have to go back to Kirk Cousins at some point and say, hey, man, let's adjust this for the cap purposes. Let's throw on an extra year or two at the end that'll just stretch it out. You're not going to get any discounts. You weren't likely to begin with. You're sure not going to get any discounts now. So yeah, you better hope he can do what he needs to do. You still get a little time for Penix to develop, and then you figure out in 2026 what you would like to do. Coming up, I want to get into one thing that the Falcons did that I think, frankly, concerns me a lot about how they handled this. Because what you have is you've got an organization that seems to be making a lot of individual moves that by themselves are all fine, but when you put them together, don't make sense. And one move that was reported that they tried to make, they didn't succeed, but that they tried to make on Thursday night, I think is kind of alarming. We'll explain coming up here on 680 The Fan, 93.7 FM.
Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online, or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with 4731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
Have you thought about securing your hard-earned assets? Do you have concerns about the future? Protecting assets is crucial, and that's where Nelson Elder Care Law excels. As a family-owned and family-focused firm, we provide absolute assurance and peace of mind through our trademarked Absolute Protection Trust, tailored services in estate planning, probate administration, Medicaid crisis solutions, guardianship, and conservatorship. Our goal is to exceed your expectations and empower informed decisions. Visit NelsonElderCareLaw.com for asset protection and peace of mind.
Here on 6A The Fan, 937 FM. Heath Klein in for Buck Belue this morning. And don't forget, 6A The Fan Girl, it's the brand new social media sports content that's tailored to the ladies. A little less X's and O's and more lifestyle-driven sports content. 6A The Fan Girl pages are curated expressly for the 680 female sports fan. Become a 6A The Fan Girl today. Follow on Instagram and TikTok as well. So the Falcons make their pick, first-round pick, number 8. Michael Penix, okay, that's what you're doing. It was later reported by Steve Wyche of the NFL Network, and others seem to have followed up to say, yeah, this is apparently true, that the Falcons tried to trade back into the first round to get Atu Latu, the pass rusher from UCLA, who winds up going as the first defensive player taken. Who got him, we'll let you hear from in just 1 second. But we now know two things that the night the pick was made, we couldn't know. One, we didn't know what the Falcons had for any kind of grade, obviously, on Latu, but most importantly, what his health situation was. What did their doctors think of his neck condition? He'd played a couple of years since the neck issue, but still, at one point, Washington said, this is someone who we don't think can safely continue to play football, and had said, you can't play here. UCLA said, we think it's all right. He played, but what would an NFL team's doctors say when they looked at his neck, considering the level of investment you'd be making with a first-round pick? It's one thing to let your team take him. It's another to let them take him with a top-10 pick. So did the Falcons' medical staff clear Latu? Well, clearly we now know the answer to that is yes. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been trying to trade up into the first round to get him. We also know what the Falcons were willing to pay to move up in the second round of the draft, to move up 8 spots to get Ruka Rororo, who is a defensive tackle that was someone that was nowhere near as valued as Latu. Whatever you think of the pick, and again, some people pretty iffy on where they took him, and especially giving up the third round pick. But for the record, by the way, Chris Sims likes it. Said that, quote, Rororo was one of the most underrated defensive linemen in the draft, played out of position at Clemson. He's incredibly strong and has the ability to be an awesome 3 technique and athletic enough to play strong side D. So let's say that Sims is right. It was worth the third round pick to move up and get him. Okay, but to move up 8 spots in the second round, you gave up a third rounder. So if you didn't have a first rounder to give up this year because you'd already made the move for Penix, then you've got to presume anything you were doing there, you were talking about giving up either next year's first rounder, or you're certainly giving up this year's second round pick, plus a lot more stuff. Are we talking a second and 2/3? Are we talking a second this year, next year's second? What are you giving up if you're talking about moving up to the mid-teens in the first round to get a guy like Latu?
if he's worth what you would have had to invest, and we can't know, because again, they didn't succeed. We can't know what their highest offer was. But if they genuinely thought that they had an offer good enough that they had any chance to get there and get this player, then why in the world didn't you just take him? This is a guy who is a player that was the top player in the draft in a lot of people's minds at a position that you desperately had a need. If you're willing to throw around possibly next year's first and more to try and get him this year, why not just take him? If the argument is, oh, yeah, but when will you ever get a quarterback? You literally just got a quarterback who is considered in the top half of the NFL starters without drafting him. You literally just did it. It can be done. It is not impossible to draft quarterbacks. They are not going to stop making quarterbacks next year. It can be done. This idea that you just had to grab one. You took a player who we know, because we know what other teams did, was valued no higher than the fourth quarterback in this draft. You're telling me that there's not any chance the Falcons in future drafts could find someone as good as that? If you believed Latu was worth trading up for, then Latu should have been the pick at number 8, period. It doesn't make any sense. And they apparently were trying to trade up. As for who got him, I love this clip. It's a short clip, but the Colts put this out as part of their draft summary. This is their general manager, Chris Ballard, reacting to them getting Latu with pick 15.
We had the best rusher in the draft.
He's laughing. He's laughing.
We had the best rusher in the draft.
Because it's ridiculous. Yeah, they sat at 15. They didn't give up a third-round pick to move up 8 spots. They sat there at 15 and had the best edge rusher in the draft, who they clearly medically think can do it, just fall in their lap. I don't blame him for laughing. It's kind of crazy. And this is where, again, I the Falcons may have gotten individual things right with this draft, but it doesn't present a coherent structure when you're just all over the place the way they are. That's the part of things that just doesn't add up.
Rise up!
Hey, don't forget, you can stay connected to all of the latest news and your favorite fan shows on the Fan app. That's sponsored by Beaver Direct. Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com and see what WOW really means. Download the Fan app now in the Apple app and Google Play stores. So the situation now for the Falcons, as we mentioned, is that the best case you can have is Cousins stays healthy, Cousins plays well, but, you know, maybe here or there, there's an opportunity for Penix to get maybe a game at the end of the year. Maybe Cousins has like that one game where he's got a little bit of a sprained ankle and he sits out and Penix plays and looks good. Like, that's the best case scenario for you. Here's another thing, though, to think about. What if J.J. McCarthy looks good? Because J.J. McCarthy's going to be playing. The Vikings did not take J.J. McCarthy to have Sam Darnold play for 2 years and have him sit and watch. I don't know if J.J. McCarthy will start right away. You would tend to suspect maybe not, because a lot of teams, when they draft a guy, will give him the 4 to 6 weeks, and then when you need to kind of press the button to reset and give fans and your team a little more energy, at some point you'll find a good spot in the schedule, you know, a home game with the Cardinals, say, or something like that. And you say, let's put him in there. But before the end of this calendar year, unless Sam Darnold is having a true renaissance, hard to believe we're not going to see J.J. McCarthy. And we know we're going to see Bo Nix sooner rather than later in Denver. Now, I don't think there's anybody who's sitting around saying, I can't believe they took Penix instead of Bo Nix. I don't think there's anybody sitting around saying that. But still, there are going to be two guys that you could have had at quarterback who are going to be playing and playing now. And what if they look really good? How much more does that up the pressure on the idea, did you even get the pick right? We're all kind of taking it for granted that they did, that Penix is at least a guy who was nice in college, showed some good traits that make you feel like he could be a successful NFL quarterback. But how much more pressure is there if while you're waiting to get a chance to kind of unwrap your present, you're seeing the other kids playing with their toys and, boy, they look like they're having a great time? remember, if we're talking about a quarterback for developing, and to be clear, I did not love the idea of J.J. McCarthy as first-round pick. I'm not sitting here telling you, oh, the Falcons should have taken J.J. McCarthy. That is not my argument at all. But if you were talking about somebody for developing, McCarthy's a lot younger player than Penix. And because McCarthy wasn't allowed to do as much in the Michigan offense, I mean, you're talking about a guy who was a top 10 quarterback who had his team at one point this year in a game against a ranked opponent not throw a pass the entire second half. So, yeah, there's at least a case that J.J. McCarthy has more room for developing, getting to do more things than the Michigan pass game really did. Maybe he turns into a guy that people feel great about as an NFL quarterback. I just wonder exactly how it's going to go if one of those two guys is looking good, fans are seeing that, and then they start saying, did we even get that part of it right? Because this is the other thing that's interesting. Everybody was able to go back and kind of look and say, you know, Adam Schefter did have that report that the Falcons had interest in Penix. And a couple of weeks earlier, Brian Baldinger, the NFL Network, had flat out said he thought that they would take Penix, that that was something that they should do, and that they would do. You never heard the Falcons linked to any other quarterback. Now, most of us still didn't believe that because there's so many lies and rumors floated out there as part of the draft process that most of us didn't take it all that seriously. But it was out there. And when it was out there, it was only out there about one guy, and that's Penix. Wasn't anybody else. It wasn't McCarthy. Wasn't Nix. Wasn't somebody else who could have fallen in here like, well, Drake May's there at 8. No, it was always Penix. So they certainly seem to have fixed on this specific guy as the answer. And that also, again, leads you back to, okay, if that's what it was, if they fell in love with Penix, when did you fall in love with Penix? Because if you were in love with Penix and you were looking at the draft beforehand, if anybody is aware of a mock draft anywhere in America by anybody that had Michael Penix going before pick 8, let me know. I certainly never saw one, and I read a lot of them for this job. I never saw that. So when did you fall in love? Did you fall in love with Penix like the week after Cousins signed his contract? Like, this is where it's just hard to understand all these different things that they're doing at one time and how they make sense. But regardless, just keep that in mind, how that's going to look if it turns out that you've got a couple of guys here that are playing better than maybe people at the day they were drafted thought they would. Will fans say, hey, our guy's going to be great too, can't wait to see him? Or will they say, oh boy, maybe we got this wrong? Hey, you know what? I know somebody who got things right this week. A lot of people drafted some Bulldog players. Let's get into the Bulldog beat.
How about them dogs?
The Fan's got a Georgia Bulldogs national champion on the beat.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10-5. Get in there!
This is the Bulldog Beat with Buck Ballew, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and attorney Ken Nugent.
Yep, the Dogs wound up with 8 players drafted this weekend. A couple of first-rounders, obviously, in Bowers and Mims. We'd wondered whether or not McConkey might get into the first round. Didn't, but you knew it wouldn't take long into the second round. Winds up going to the L.A. Chargers in a trade-up there for the 34th pick in the draft. Kamari Laster also going in the second round to pick 10. Javon Bullard, second round, pick 26. Those guys going to the Texans and to the Packers. And then Tyke Smith went to the Bucks in the third round of the draft. Cedric Van Pran and then Zion Logue with the Falcons. So you wind up with a total of 8 overall. And then other guys who are going to get their chances with teams. If you're the Dogs year in, year out, this is just kind of going to be expected. But the fact that you can consistently just know every year you're going to be churning out picks like this, I think is a really important part of things. And sometimes there's fans who kind of look at it and say, eh, I don't care so much about what happens to them when they get to the pros. I'm not a pro fan. You don't need to be a pro fan to still appreciate that it's really important that you get your players drafted. It's not the absolute be-all and end-all of judging whether or not somebody was a good college player when they're drafted in the NFL. There's guys that get drafted in the NFL that are drafted on raw talent that weren't particularly good college players. And there's guys who are great college players, but whatever, they're 2 inches shorter than the NFL wants, or that arm length is an inch shorter than the NFL wants, and they don't get picked. But 8 all the way around, pretty solid day, solid weekend, I guess, for the Dogs. Also wanted to make note of a Bulldog baseball. 1 of 3 over the weekend against number 1 Texas A&M. But Charlie Condon continues to just absolutely wreak havoc. 28 and 29 homers now hit for him. That breaks Gordon Beckham's single season record for home runs, as well as his career mark for home runs. So Charlie Condon just having an unbelievable run right now with Georgia. But if you're a dog fan, yeah, look, number one team in the country, you at least got a game. That's the biggest thing, is just not getting swept in any of these weekend series. To get one is perfectly fine given the circumstances that they were working with. So I think you feel good about that. And again, just if you're a dog fan, watch the Condon show while you still can, because I saw a thing saying at this point he might wind up being the number one overall pick. I don't know if that'll turn out to be true or not, because you know, who knows how things go with the baseball draft, assignability. A lot of factors go into how teams decide who they want to go with. But there's at least a thought that he could be hitting his way into that conversation. And the fact that he's doing what he's done after taking a redshirt a couple of years ago, just kind of amazing. So I appreciate what he's doing over there in Athens in the limited time that you have got. All right, coming up, there is something happening in college that I think maybe people will be happy to hear. You don't feel good about what's going on for individual guys. This isn't something to be happy about, like, ha, ha, ha. But if you're just saying, is there anything that's going to slow down the transfer portal, if there's anything that's going to keep kids from just jumping school to school every semester, you may finally have your answer. And this is one thing dudes can't sue their way out of. We'll explain coming up here on 6A The Fan and 93.7 FM.
Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online, or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with $4,731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
Have you thought about securing your hard-earned assets? Do you have concerns about the future? Protecting assets is crucial, and that's where Nelson Elder Care Law excels. As a family-owned and family-focused firm, we provide absolute assurance and peace of mind through our trademarked Absolute Protection Trust, tailored services in estate planning, probate administration, Medicaid crisis solutions, guardianship, and conservatorship. Our goal is to exceed your expectations and empower informed decisions. Visit NelsonElderCareLaw.com for asset protection and peace of mind.
My recital, I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right,
on top.
It's tricky.
Here we go.
Love that song. Can't go wrong with that. Even a good video. You know, a video was good if you still remember the video all these years later.
That's borderline like iconic, right?
Yeah. Penn and Teller in the video with Run DMC for this one. Absolutely good stuff. Hey, it is Heath Klein in for Buck for just a few more minutes. Then, of course, Nick and Chris on the microphone doing their thing. Bless Nick Cellini, by the way. Nick has been fighting the good fight online, trying to be a good, responsible radio personality, interact with the fans. I can just imagine his face on some of these tweets that he's getting. And he's trying really, really hard to do the right thing, to be informative, to have interaction. And then there's just sometimes where you're like, I got to put my phone down like now. So, Nick, I know Nick's going to have a lot on his mind. He always does. But after this weekend, he's definitely going to have a lot on his mind. He and Chris coming up in just a few minutes. All right, so a lot of you who are college fans have been bothered by the trend of transfer, transfer, transfer. Even if it benefits your school, you just don't want to feel like everybody in the sport is just constantly a question mark as to whether they're going to be or not. And it turns out there might be something that guys hadn't counted on that's going to affect just how much they can do when it comes to transferring around. If you're not a graduate, now if you're a graduate, then it's a different story. But Penny Boone is a name you might not know. Boone had transferred to Louisville, and at the time, it was considered to be a pretty big deal for them. MAC Offensive Player of the Year comes down to Louisville, transfers in. He's going to play for the Cardinals, and that's a chance for him to get a boost by moving up to a bigger program, higher profile visibility, and they get a guy that's an experienced tailback that was a lower conference player of the year. What's not to like? Except for, it turns out, when he got there, apparently he didn't make the impression that he was thinking he was going to make or that they thought he was going to make, and he was told he was not going to be a starter, that he would be maybe a second back or maybe even a third back on Louisville. Well, that didn't go well, and so he not only announced that he was going to transfer back out after the one spring at Louisville, but even kind of took some shots on his video channels, you know, second pick, you know, second back. I'm no second back. Where was Penny Boone going to go? He's going to go to Kentucky is where he was going to go. He's going to head over to Kentucky and not only play in the SEC, but, hey, get a crack at Louisville later in the year. I'll show you what you missed out on, except for one problem. Turns out Penny Boone can't transfer into Kentucky because Penny Boone has not graduated yet, and Penny Boone is finding out that when you transfer, you lose credits. Not every school accepts every credit that you got at a previous school. And apparently, looking for what would have been his fourth school in 5 years and his third school in 6 months, Kentucky took a look at that transcript. Was like, yeah, man, we can't do this. We can't get you in. This isn't like switching flights or making a different hotel reservation. These are still universities, and you still have to have a certain number of academic credits that qualify at that university. And every time that you transfer, there's going to be some stuff that they say, we don't have an equivalent to this class, or you know, we don't choose to accept that as something here. This is not the only place that this is happening. Apparently, this is becoming more and more of a phenomenon because, again, you have more guys able to transfer in every sport than ever before after the NCAA first lost in court and then just said, yeah, we're not even going to fight it anymore. Transfer as much as you want. Knock yourself out. When they said that, they didn't say, and there's no academic qualifications necessary. So you had Kevin Sweeney, who covers college basketball, saying, I don't think a lot of fans realize right now how many non-graduating transfers hunting for their third or fourth schools are having major admissions trouble because of issues transferring credits. This is going to be a big issue in the transfer as many times as you want era. So if you were a fan that was hoping something would get a little bit of a break on this, this may be your answer. That guys are going to have to realize, look, jump once, you're probably going to be fine. Jump a second time, you better be careful. And if you're trying to jump a third time, especially right away, you're probably screwed. So maybe this will cause some guys and maybe their agents in particular to realize this isn't the NFL. This isn't just go anywhere you want, do what you want, whenever you want. It's not that. And you better have a plan for how you handle the academic side if you are planning on being on the move. Hey, all season when the Braves hit a home run, you'll score an instant round tripper discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires. The next day only at Tire Discounters, plus you'll get a free alignment and free oil change with your tire purchase. More home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals at Tire Discounters. You can learn more by going to tirediscounters.com/Braves if you want to check that out. All right, a little bit of news that has just come down, and it's good news for Matt Ryan. And if you like Matt Ryan on TV, it's good news for you, too. It had been known that CBS was going to shake up the NFL today. It's just that show has never really, it seems, caught on the way that the Fox show has. I don't know how many people still love ESPN's show, but ESPN's show, because it's on so much earlier, gets a certain viewership, I think. It's just never felt like the CBS show was one of those shows that you say, I want to make sure I see what those guys are saying. If there is anything they say, maybe you'll see it later in a clip, but you never feel like, boy, I got to make sure I tune in for the CBS pregame show. Maybe this will change it. I don't know. But Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason both are out at the CBS pregame show, the NFL Today.
Gone.
And Matt Ryan is in. J.J. Watt is not going full time. Watt last year did, I don't know, about 6 to 8 shows, something like that. Watt is going to still remain as a contributor, but not be a full-time guy. So the desk now will be James Brown still as the host. Nate Burleson and Bill Cowher stay on from the previous version of the show. But now it'll be Matt Ryan as the quarterback voice there on the show with J.J. Watt. And look, fewer people trying to talk is probably a good place to start. Some of these shows, just there's just so many voices. I think you can, in that situation, have it where nobody really gets a chance to make the best contribution because you're trying to make sure everybody's getting a chance. So taking it down from two quarterbacks to one and a guy in Matt Ryan who has a lot more relevant recent experience in the league, that's not to say that either Sims or Esiason don't still understand the game of football, but Matt Ryan, by virtue of having just played in the league, just knows the current coaches, the current players, is going to have different stories than those guys that have been out of the game in both cases now for decades. And Phil Sims in particular, just, I don't know. There was a time where it felt like he had something to offer, and it feels like that time was pretty far back. I can't remember, even when he was doing games still, I can't remember the last time that I heard Phil Sims say something and said, wow, that was a great point. I'm glad I heard Phil Sims say that. So good opportunity for Matt Ryan, and I think overall it's probably going to make that show a little bit better. All right, we got a little bit of time left. Why don't we give you a final word?
Time for the final word. Brought to you by Howard Brothers, keeping Georgia green since 1955.
So, you want to talk some draft? No. Not the 2024 draft, silly. The 2025 draft. You know they weren't going to wait long to get started with next year, right? Believe it or not, there are already people that are placing bets on who's going to be the number one pick in the draft. I won't say which place, but one of the national online sports books has Shedeur Sanders as the number one pick for next year's draft with the best odds, followed by Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers, Drew Aller, the quarterback at Penn State, Jalen Milroe from Alabama, Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, Cameron Ward from Miami. So clearly the belief is, well, hey, quarterbacks. Somebody's going to go really high in next year's draft, whether or not they actually are the best player in the draft or not. Somebody's going to go that high. Out of all of the names that they put out here for odds, the one that probably got my attention the most just for, really? Marvin Jones Jr. If you're a dog fan, you're saying, wait, he could be the number one pick in the draft? That seems a little rich, to say the least. I don't think that's going to happen. I would not encourage you to run down to the window or the modem or whatever you would say for these possibilities where you can place this bet. I would not encourage you to run down and place that bet on Marvin Jones Jr. However, in the case of Nate Tice, a guy I think is pretty sharp, does work for Yahoo as well as The Athletic. He's got Michael Williams as the number one guy off the edge. He's got him as his number one pick. He's not doing bet nods. He's just doing prospects for next year. He's got Williams there as the number one guy. So if you're a dog fan, you probably would have guessed a quarterback yourself, Carson Beck. He has Beck in his list, but not until number 23 right now. What he did say about Beck, quote, Beck has good size with polished and clean throwing mechanics. He improved throughout his first year starting in Athens, plays with good eyes and understanding of the offense. Beck's willing to push the ball and drive throws over the middle of the field. While not having the most overwhelming arm strength, he still has plenty of juice to make the more difficult throws. Also does a good job of mitigating sacks and negative plays because of his pocket movement and solid athleticism. That athleticism shows up as a runner. While it won't be the main forte of his game, he's an efficient scrambler and runner. Have some random misses with ball placement. Still has to work on quickening his anticipation just a hair, but his ascending play and feel in 23 could set up for a more consistent and impressive 24. So, again, he's got him at 23. I would not have guessed that he would be that far down based on just what he did this year. But, again, just you're looking at next year, you've got the projected number one from Nate Tice. You've also got number seven with Malachi Starks. You've got, I believe, number 17 in here as well. So again, the Dogs with Jalen Walker at 17. So four of the first 23 is projected for next year by Nate Tice. If you want to check that out, check his listing out, go on Yahoo. But do yourself a favor. Don't bet on next year's draft 360 days early. Don't do that. Even the NFL teams don't do that much of that. A few of them make that trade for next year's first round pick or something. Don't do that to yourself. That there are better ways to, maybe a nice savings bond. Nice way to invest if you want to for 360 days from now. Maybe a better call than I got a feeling about Marvin Jones Jr. Just a suggestion. All right, it is time for us to clear the zone and make room for Nick and Chris coming your way next. Again, they'll have tons of thoughts on everything that's going on with the draft and what the Falcons did. Lord knows we're going to be talking about this one a lot of different ways all day here on 6A The Fan 93.7 FM. I want to say big thanks to Derek Thomas as well as Road Dog Adam Gillespie. Thanks to you for listening. Buck back tomorrow here on 6A The Fan 93.7 FM.
Thank you, Buck.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with $4,731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
Have you thought about securing your hard-earned assets? Do you have concerns about the future? Protecting assets is crucial, and that's where Nelson Elder Care Law excels. As a family-owned and family-focused firm, we provide absolute assurance and peace of mind through our trademarked Absolute Protection Trust, tailored services in estate planning, probate administration, Medicaid crisis solutions, guardianship, and conservatorship. Our goal is to exceed your expectations and empower informed decisions. Visit NelsonElderCareLaw.com for asset protection and peace of mind.
Baseball fans, get Fubo to watch your team without cable. Fubo has Bally Sports, ESPN, and more top sports channels. You can record games with the included DVR or stream them on the go with the Fubo app. Start watching today at FuboTV.com. That's FuboTV.com.